Oh, it's so good to see y'all this morning. And I want to thank Pastor Henry for inviting us back. And it's like homecoming every time we come back and seeing family. And you are a family.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes the church family can be a lot closer knit than the natural family. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. Like Andrew says, you're blessed. this morning, Pastor Henry said it's Mission Sunday. We celebrate that once a month. And, you know, missions in a lot of people's minds, like whenever I was growing up, I thought of missions as being a mud hut in Africa and having to deal with sickness, you know, malaria and all kinds of stuff like that. I grew up in a church that really didn't believe in healing and everything that they prayed. It was, if it be thy will. And not putting anybody down, I'm just saying, if you know the will of God, which is, he says, I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, then it's his will for us to walk in divine health. And if we have a situation, it's his will for us to be rid of it, no matter what it is. He says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. The thief is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Jesus Christ. So it's our right by inheritance, our divine right, to walk in everything that Jesus purchased for us on the way to the cross and the resurrection. Because it says that when he died, we died with him. When he arose, we arose victorious unto God. Victorious means you were already a victor, and you're not a victim anymore.
Amen.
Amen. So in him we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Sickness is not one of those. Depression is not one of those. Mental illness is not one of those. So all these things we have been given, past tense, in Christ Jesus. It's all about receiving what he has already provided. I'm going to throw this out to you also. A lot of people think that whenever they see the word ask in the scriptures, that it means that we're to ask, to beg, to plead for God to release something. And that's the way they interpret it, because that's the way they've been taught. Let me throw this out to you. If you look that up in the original Greek, about 95 plus percent of the time that you see the word ask in English in the New Covenant, it's Strong's number 154, and it means to require what is due. So all you're doing is you're not demanding God to do anything. You're just saying, I agree with you, Father, that this is my divine right in Christ Jesus, and I call it due now into my life because I trust you that it's already done. And so it's time for it to manifest in my life now. That's what the word ask actually means most of the time in the New Covenant. So I'll be throwing out a few nuggets today. And so bear with me. If you've heard this before, you know, it bears repeating, right?
Yes.
We're going to have a good time. I've got a lot of scripture that I want to read to you this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles, and let's get started with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, okay? And if you don't have a Bible, if you want to look on with somebody that does, that'd be great. Because I want you to see it for yourself. And I've said this many times, and I want to reiterate, is that the Word is terrific. It's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. But the thing is, the Christian life is about having revelation by the Holy Spirit. Think back some of the verses that you've read. And you may have read them 100 times. But whenever you read it, it's like it pops off the page and you see something there that you didn't see before. Something that applies to you. And that's what I'm talking about. Get your own revelation. Expect the Holy Spirit to bless you with His revelation of what the Scriptures mean to you personally. And he applies them in a different way to different people at different times in their lives. But whenever the Holy Spirit brings something to you, it's yours. And it's yours to walk out the abundant life in. Okay? So that's what we want. Anytime we read the Scripture, our mindset should be, Father, this is your word. I respect it. I honor you. And I want to receive everything in this Scripture that your Son Jesus has gone to the cross and the resurrection just for me. It's mine today, and I'm going to live it out from this day forward. Amen? So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 15. It says that, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's a person that has made Jesus Christ their Savior, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things of God are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, and this is the topic for today. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen?
Amen.
That's a mouthful.
Amen.
I've got plenty more scripture I'm going to go through today with you, so that you can go back and review it and see that it does apply everything that we're going to talk about today. It applies to each one of us. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of you say, well, this is old news. I've heard that before. Well, today you're going to hear it in a different venue. It's going to be made revelation to you personally. Some of you may think, well, I used to be a royal ambassador in the Baptist Church. And that's true. And we talked about missions a lot. But I didn't go anywhere until after I got grown up. I didn't leave Durham very much. But after I went out of the country, I started seeing what it was talking about. I thought you had to leave the country to be a missionary. But you don't. We've been given that mission as ambassadors for Christ wherever we are. If you're in Raleigh, if you're in Durham, if you're in Cary, if you're in Marshville, wherever you are, that's your mission field. In fact, some people actually have one of these little sayings, put it on above their door where they go in and out all the time. It says, you are entering your mission field. Every time they go out through it, they see that little sign. It reminds them, you're entering your mission field. So wherever you are, that's your mission field. You might say, well, I'm not a missionary. Well, we just read, he says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, does that mean you better get right? You better come to God or you're going to hell? And that's not really what it's talking about, is it? It says that everything that had to be done to take care of the sin situation has been taken care of in Christ Jesus. He did it all for us. We receive it by grace as a gift to us by just trusting in Christ that he did it all. You've heard this message before, but I'm going to reiterate it again and again and again. Because that's our true identity now in Christ Jesus, is that all of this, everything that stood between us and God has been taken care of completely. Not only that, but as Pastor Henry has been teaching on now for some time, that we've been made righteous. We just don't have our sins forgiven. God doesn't remember them anymore. But we've been made righteous by the gift of His righteousness given to us because of what He did. So righteousness, one of the short definitions is, we have right standing with God. We no longer need to stand there in fear and trembling to run away from Him whenever we mess up, just as Adam did. He hid because he was afraid. But we can run to our Abba Father and jump into His lap because He loves us. And we know that our sins and iniquities He remembers no more. We're His. He purchased us with a price. That was Jesus' life. Okay? So, in this scripture here, it says that we have become new creations. And that means that our spirit man, we're spirits, we have a body, we live in a body, and we have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. Definitions are important. Whenever you read in the scriptures, it's important because the mindset that we have and the Eastern mindset in which the scriptures were written are different. So if you go back to the original text that it was written in, whether it be Greek or Hebrew, then you can do word study there. And so I like that. The Lord gave me that desire. And so I like studying in the original languages. Not that I'm a scholar or anything like that at all, but I can look at the interlinear translation and do the word study, and it gives all the different definitions of the different words. And hopefully everything that I say today will be scriptural. Amen? But this assignment that we have been given in Christ Jesus is that we're to tell people that Jesus has already reconciled us, meaning that the enmity, the separation between God and man has been bridged by what Jesus did. There's no longer any separation between us. Our sins have been forgiven completely, past, present, and future. And because of that, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come to our Abba Father, Daddy God, not God Almighty, Abba Father, our Daddy God who loves us unconditionally. He's the one that we can come to and have a relationship, an intimacy like no other, because He loved us first. We can go to Him unashamed, not guilty anymore, and sit on His lap and hug His neck, literally, in the spirit realm. That's what He desires. Did you know that that's the reason that man was created? Because God is love. Love expresses itself. And so that love expressed itself by us, human beings, being created so that God could have that expression of love to someone. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but he's so awesome. Think about it. In the natural, I don't know if y'all like to get around people that have big reputations. You know, like if you're in the sports, you get around these athletes that are very successful, and stand up to him, take a selfie, you know. I got to meet this guy, you know. Look, I've got the picture right here. Yeah. Me and him are tight, you know. Everybody wants to feel like, you know, they're special. Yeah. Do you realize that he's taken your picture with the creator of the universe? It doesn't get any better than that. You're tight with him. He actually knows your name. He knows your first name. He even knows your nicknames. That's how tight you are. So you've been elevated to a position of preeminence in the universe, not just in Durham or Marshall or Raleigh. You actually have that position. You're friends on first name basis because you know him as Abba. First name basis with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of all that is. You're that close to him. Just to put it in perspective. Isn't that awesome that He gave us that opportunity? Amen. Okay, it says there that we've been given a title as an ambassador for Christ. Now, in the natural, many of you know probably that one of the duties of an ambassador is to go to a foreign country and to represent in that foreign country the country that you represent, in whatever, in trade, in economic things. And you're like a liaison, in a way, between the two countries. Now, the ambassador stays in what's called an embassy. And the embassy is a piece of land that has been designated as belonging to the country that that ambassador represents. It's sovereign country. And the rules of that foreign country that's been placed in another country exist there. In other words, the rules of the nation that that embassy is located in don't apply. Only the rules of that ambassador's country apply in that station. Now, that ambassador has a lot of weight in what he says. Because when he speaks, he's actually speaking for the government of the country that he represents. And whatever he says while he's in that other country, that's the gospel, so to speak, of the country that he represents. Because he represents not only in our situation the president, but also Congress and the court system too. He represents that country in another nation. Now, if you look at it, like Jesus said, he is a king. But he says, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. So we are spiritual ambassadors. And the difference in the embassy is wherever we are, is our surroundings. If I move over here, then the surroundings that I have, it includes everything around me. So think of that as being an embassy, that it's sovereign territory in which you have power and control over. Remember, this is a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. Okay? All right. So we're gonna go through a few scriptures to show you that this is all doctrinal, it's all scriptural, and each one of us has already been made an ambassador. And just like in the natural life, the ambassador has received training. He's received authority and power that's backed up by that nation that he represents before he's ever sent. Okay? So he's already been equipped for that. The same thing in the spirit realm. Ambassadors for Christ have already been given not only authority, in the Greek that's exousia, but he's also been given power, which is dunamis in the Greek. So he has authority and he has the power to back up that authority that he's been given. And he's in sovereign territory that his rules apply in that sovereign area, his surroundings. Everywhere he goes, he has that sovereign rule and authority and power to enforce that rule in that area, wherever he is, in the spirit realm, right? So, let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, He has delivered, past tense, us from the power. That's saying that authority, that word power there is actually translated authority, of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Whenever you made Jesus your Savior, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness and its authority and power in the darkness over into a different spiritual realm. You were transferred. You no longer belong in that kingdom. You have been transferred over into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. All these things refer to the same thing in the spirit realm. And as we just saw, His power, dunamis, miracle-working power, has been given to His ambassadors. Okay? So this is confirmation that you have been transferred from one kingdom to another. Out of that kingdom and whatever power and authority that you had, that no longer is yours. You've been transferred over here. Whose power and authority is superior? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan? God. No brainer, right? Okay. So you have been delegated as an ambassador that power to represent God's kingdom in this natural realm. Are we all together on that, right? Okay. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 1. Y'all already know where I'm going. And that's good. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Man. It's nice whenever you can see it, not in black and white, but in red, because Jesus said this. Amen? Now, it says shall there because he's talking about in future of this earthly realm where he was at this particular time. Right? So it means that after he was risen and then he came back later on to assure the disciples that, hey, don't go out and try to minister. Don't go out and be an ambassador yet. Wait. Because I'm going to equip you with power before you go. Because I don't send anybody unless I equip them. That's what he was saying. So that's the reason they had to tarry in Jerusalem. We don't have to tarry today. We don't have to wait. Right? Everybody understand that? I have run across a few people that were still tarrying. We don't have to wait because Jesus has already ascended and said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And He's going to minister through you. He's the power, the spiritual power that's going to make you an ambassador and a very successful one. Amen? Because it's going to be His power, not yours. He's equipping you to do His work. And His work is different. We'll talk about that later. Remind me now if I forget. Come back to it about defining work in the spirit realm. Okay? So he says that you guys wait until you receive power from the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to send to you. And then you notice what he said. In Jerusalem, that was a city where they were, right? Judea, that was like a region. And then Samaria was another region where it was not Jewish, but it was like half Jews. They were mixed with Gentiles. In other words, he's saying, you don't have to leave where you are to have this power working for you. Wherever you are throughout the world, it works. So you can be an ambassador even in your own hometown. Even in your own home.
Amen.
Which some of you might consider that a mission field. Oh, man. Oh, the Lord's so good. Oh, man. We are going to make it through this. But He has already equipped each believer with everything that they need to be a successful ambassador wherever they are and wherever they go. Amen? All right. Let's go to another scripture. John 14 and verse 12. Now this is the one that a lot of people draw back from. Okay? And if we can only get you through half the verse, that is excellent. And the other half will take care of itself. Amen? So, John 14:12. So, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And that's okay if you just go with the works that he does and leave off the greater works until later on. And the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into that. And I'll be frank with you. I don't know what that really means. Okay? Because you say, well, nothing can be greater than what Jesus did. There's a lot of speculations. I'll leave that up to you and the Holy Spirit, though. I'm going to concentrate on the first part of it. It says that the works that I do, you should do also. Okay? Now, what are the works that Jesus did? Anybody? He healed. He delivered. He talked about the kingdom to them, because they call that the gospel whenever you talk about the kingdom that was to come. And so he was setting in place a new covenant based upon grace, not the law. But we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. And anybody remember the definition, one of the definitions of grace? Divine influence upon the heart and its effect in a person's life. So it's him giving us power and authority to do things that we could not do, as a gift to do those things that God said his kingdom represents, right? So it's all about him reaching out to us. And all we're doing is we're receiving everything that he's already given. Amen? We don't have to come up with anything. Just, I do. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me from myself and everything else. So, in this scripture here, we see that he expects us as believers to continue on with the things that he has done. And what are the things that he did? He went about preaching, teaching, and healing, among other things. But he created miracles, and a lot of times in the scriptures it's called signs. Signs are something that point to, they're not the thing in itself. So if you see someone that, like for instance, I ministered to a man one time that had rheumatoid arthritis. He was all bent over, his fingers were twisted, he could hardly walk, he had a cane. And the power of Jesus touched him. The man straightened up in front of me, threw his cane down and ran. And I saw his fingers actually straighten out. That's the power of God. To set that man free. Now, did it have anything to do with me? No. I was just a vessel that God poured his power into this gentleman through. And that's the way each one of us is in here. You don't have to be one of the fivefold ministries. No. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. This is talking about believers. Mm-hmm. The believers are the ones that are the ambassadors. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so he says that he has empowered us as believers to continue on with the works of Jesus. Now, a lot of people talk about the works. And it's good to do labor, as far as manual labor, in helping someone. That's great. That really is not what this is talking about. Think about it. Whenever Jesus ministered, it was about a transfer of power. That was the work that Jesus did. He took dominion over this earthly realm with the spiritual power that he had been endued by his Father God to rule and reign in this life. We're going to get to that in just a minute. He talks about he had been given authority, exousia, in heaven and earth and under the earth. And then he said, now you go. We'll read that in just a little bit. But he says that this power, this authority, as well as the actual miracle-working power that he operated in, that he would change this physical realm by either a word or by his proximity. Meaning that he was fairly close to it. Okay? Then he blew everybody's mind because they were looking to touch him and receive something. Or he would speak and say, be whole. Then he says, what you have believed, you can have it. Return to your house and she'll be made whole. So distance, his proximity was the whole earth. It didn't matter about the distance because he could speak and it was so. And he says, I've given you that same authority. So wherever we are has been extended out to whatever we can believe on this earth. I know I'm stretching you because I'm stretching myself. And until recently, the proximity thing, I was listening to some teaching where a person said, well, you know, whenever Peter would walk into the temple, you know, to pray, God said people would line up, people that were sick along the way where he would always walk to go into the temple, and they lined them up, and as Peter passed by them, he said, the shadow got on them and they were healed. I said, man, I'd love to have that myself too. That'd be awesome. Okay. And this was not long ago because I'd never seen that happen before. To me. Okay. Other people, yes. I said, you know, well, if he did it for him, why not me too? Amen. I want to operate that way too. And it happened. Don't ask me how. I don't know. God worked it out, though. But there was a gentleman that came by, and I recognized that the Lord wanted to minister to him. I was sitting up on a second level on a deck, vacationing. And the fellow had come by, and he looked up at me and waved, and I waved back at him. I didn't know who he was. And it hit me. He said, the Lord wants to minister to him. And he walked on down, you know. And he was on a mission. He was going to get coffee because it was morning time. And so his addiction for coffee, like some of us have, you know, he was wanting to get a cup of coffee to start his day out. So he walked on down the road. I said, okay, Lord, you're the one that's going to have to bring this man back here to minister because I don't know who he is. I don't know how to get in touch with him or anything else, but I know that you want to minister to him. About 30 minutes later, he came walking back, and I stood up and looked over, and I said, aren't you the one that waved me a while ago? He said, yeah, sure am. I said, come on up here. I want to talk to you. So he came around, came up and sat down beside him, and I introduced myself, and we started talking, and kind of find out he was a believer. But he had some health challenges even that morning. And some other things, too, that I'm not going to mention. But as we sat there, he said, I believe this is a divine appointment. He said, I was looking for somebody that I could come and talk to that would minister to me. I said, man, that's awesome. And he says, oh, just so you know, he said, my knees were really painful this morning. I could hardly walk. And he said, you know, that desire for coffee, he said, I forced myself. But he said, just as I started up the steps, all the pain left. I said, thank you, Jesus. There were some other issues that I prayed with him about. But you see how the Lord, Pastor Henry mentioned about being expectant. Expect things to happen supernaturally. Expect the Lord to flow through you in any given situation. In fact, to the point where You're actually looking for an opportunity. Now, am I saying that you're going to bat 100%, you know, bat 1,000, and see 100% of the time everything that the Bible says that we have and that we are in Christ Jesus to manifest itself? Jesus even had a hard time in his own hometown.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't respect him. In fact, it said that they were offended by him. Oh, that's just Jesus. He's a carpenter. What does he know about healing? You know, I'm sure they had something to do with it, right? But the thing is, we can practice on our family. You know, well, he's just dad. What does he know about healing? Oh, he's brother so-and-so. What does he know? You can practice. And that's what we do in Bible studies. We practice. We practice on each other. And then after a while, whenever you start seeing some results, then you have confidence. I like to practice on people I don't know. Sometimes they're easier to minister to. But it's the type of thing that the Lord has said it, and he's put us on a mission. He's equipped us to go. And so he says, go for it. So what if you don't see anything immediately? That doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because many times people have called me back later on, whenever they had a phone number to call me, and said, oh, you know, the next day I woke up, all the symptoms were gone. Thank you, Jesus. What if they didn't? What if nobody ever reported back? Well, that doesn't matter. Your identity is in Christ Jesus, not whether or not what you ministered to a person actually manifested. It has nothing to do with your identity. It hasn't changed you whatsoever. So don't get hung up if you don't see the immediate results. It doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Now, all the details on why not, to be honest with you, I don't know. And I'm not worried about it.
That's right.
Because my identity is in him, not in what works occur in my presence. Because it's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not about us.
Amen.
If nothing happens, do I get the blame? No. If it happens, manifestation immediately, do I get the praise? No. All the honor and praise goes to Jesus. It's all about him. Amen? And the same thing with each one of us.
That's right.
Each one of us can minister to other people, even our family, the same way that he did. Now, what causes us to want to minister to people, to see the darkness be removed from their lives, to be the hardships, to set them free sometimes from things that they've been dealing with, addictions, different things like that. What is it? It's the love. It's the love of God that's been placed in us, because love wants to express itself. Like we said, the reason we were created as humans. Because God wants to express himself to all those around us. It says in, whenever we're talking about the gifts, it says that pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you prophesy. What is prophecy? It's about the word of God coming through you to give edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, building up. Comfort means that there's no condemnation. Exhortation, you're encouraging people. You're encouraging them to be who they are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Encouragement helps people to have hope again, especially whenever they are in a situation that to the natural realm looks hopeless. So, whenever you're out in your mission field, and the Lord puts it on your heart to go and talk to someone, you may have these little things that are sitting on your shoulder and talking into your ear. That's called the old man. Now, he's dead. But his programming still is up here. This is like a computer. a very advanced computer. One that nobody has figured out how to duplicate, right? He put us in a brain, and we have memories. Some things we'd rather forget, amen?
Yeah.
But that old man died. But this little, these memories and stuff come up, right? Now, we've got a choice we can make. Either we'll operate according to our new man, or we will start listening to this old stuff that's basically an old program that is not ours anymore. We'll try to get us diverted. Well, you know that person's busy. You don't need to bother them. You don't need to interrupt their day and everything like that. I mean, well, look, you need to go to this appointment too, so you don't have time to go and minister to that person. He's going to think you're crazy. Your reputation's at stake here. People find out that you're going, they're going to think you belong in a loony bin. If they find out that you've been praying for them, you know, what if it doesn't happen? What if it does? These things you may hear, maybe you're not like me. But the thing is, that love that Jesus has put in your heart whenever you were born again, that love wants to express itself more than you want to listen to a dead guy.
Yeah.
Because that's not you anymore. So you've been given authority over that voice too.
That's right.
Shut up. That's not me. You're dead.
Amen.
Dead people can't talk. Amen? And you go on with what the Lord has assigned you to do. Be the ambassador in that place where you're at. Now, I'm not telling you to take work time to minister to somebody. That's not what I'm saying. You're getting paid by them, but you do have breaks. You do have lunch. You do get there before work. And you do have time after work, right? And if need be, you can make an appointment with somebody to go and get with them because the Lord has placed it on your heart. That Holy Spirit wants to flow through you to minister to that person to set them free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're free from all that garbage that we used to be enslaved to because Christ has set us free. And that's what he wants to do with these people that he's placed on your heart that's in your sphere of influence. Let's go to Mark. There's a couple of places in the scriptures where they're called the Great Commission. And this is one of them, Mark chapter 16. And we're going to start with verse 15. Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15. And he said to them, now, those of you who are thinking that this was only a charge to the apostles, there's two different types of people that he was basically talking to in both of these great commissions in Matthew and also in Mark. One is to believers, the other one is to disciples. Right? Now, who's a believer? A believer in Christ Jesus is one that has given their life to Christ and said, you know, my old man is dead. I'm alive in Christ. My life is hid in you. You have purchased me with a price. I am yours and you are mine. And in John 17, it says that if we have done that, made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we have become one. One means that you can't tell the difference to where Jesus ends and we begin. Homogeneous, whatever you want to call it. We're mixed up together. We become one, and you can't separate us. And that person that he is in you works through you with your personality, whatever it may be. But he will work through you in any situation that you're in to you represent him. And I look at that word re and present. You're presenting again Jesus whenever you're ministering to people. Amen? So a believer is that definition. Now, how about disciple? Here's where it gets really interesting. Very interesting. You'll see that in the next scripture after this one. So it says here, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, we talked about signs, right? Will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall or will recover. Now that means that at some point in the future, whether it be immediately or at some point, they will recover. Right? So, here it's saying, go throughout the world. Well, on your world trip, does it start wherever you are right now? And I'll be honest with you, I never thought that I would get out of Durham. And I can't remember how many countries. I think about six countries, seven, I don't know. And there's going to be more coming up. I'll be going to Kenya next year, and we have an invitation to go and do some teaching in Bible colleges there in Kenya. So I've never been to Africa yet, but that was one of the places whenever I was a kid, and I saw the missionaries come, and it was always, you know, man, you need to be a servant of the Lord and go out and go live in that mud hut in Africa. That, you know, that's where it's at. I said, man, I don't want no part of that. So all I thought Africa was mud huts, you know. And I saw the missionaries, and this is my thinking of what a missionary was. A person that had holes in their shoes, they were all scuffed up, and their pants, the knees and the seat was worn out, and their shirt was yellow looking and wrinkled. And they were talking about how they were so awesome to serve the Lord, and they begged for money. Yeah. And that was my interpretation. Okay. Now, and I allowed that to influence my thinking about what a missionary really is. Because that's not true missionary. And you have terrific foreign missionaries in Mickey and Susan. And we've been a number of places with them. We've had a ball. But they're awesome. It's great to see them work in the mission field too, out in a foreign country. And it's nice to have somebody in South America that can speak Spanish too, wherever you are. I've been to plenty of places where I didn't have an interpreter or a translator or whatever you want to call it. But the Lord will work all that out. But you can see here that he's given a mission. And he says it's a co-mission. That means us with the Holy Spirit flowing through us, because he's the one that gave us power, dunamis, miracle-working power, to flow through us, because it's him actually ministering to the person. We just happen to be the vessel he's ministering through. All we have to do is be available. But it's a whole lot better to be expectant, expecting him to flow through us, than it is just to say, well, okay, here I am. I'm not going anywhere, but here I am. If you want me over there, you move me over there. I've done that too. Be not only available, but be willing. A willing participant. And it's a co-mission. Remember that. It's not about us. It's all about him. Okay? So, let's go to Matthew 28. And we're going to read 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go." We'll stop right there. If you have been made one with Him, and He has made the devil useless and all of the demons, taken authority over them, put them in their place, and they are under our feet in heaven and in earth, He has transferred that authority and power to us. And He's the one that says so. And He backs it up with Daddy God's permission and also power to enforce it. I like that word too. We're enforcing what Jesus has already won for us. Amen? So we're enforcers. But the thing is, it's the spirit realm, so we have spiritual weapons. Right? Spiritual authority and spiritual weapons. And they're actually more powerful than the natural weapons. You think that, you know, a hydrogen explosion is, boy, that is something that's big. It's awesome. Hey, Jesus can wiggle His little finger and create universes. His power and what little things that man has come up with, there's no comparison. We're actually working with the Creator of everything and all that we do here on this earth as believers. Amen? So, He's saying that He has been given, past tense, by the Father, all authority in heaven and in earth. And then He says, now, you go. You're going in His power and authority. Therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says that He's equipped us to go. And you notice what He said, make disciples. You know, would it be helpful for us to be disciples if we're going to make disciples and teach people? Mm-hmm. You don't have to have the teaching gift to transfer to someone else what you've been taught. They have a name for that here. It's called an apprentice. A master and an apprentice. And so you're training them up in a trade, right? They use that in the trade world to do manual labor. Like I lay brick. My father was a brick mason. And so I studied under him, and my uncle was, and my grandfather was. And so I got three times the amount that most people do in telling me that I need to do it over again whenever I messed up. And it's rough whenever you have to tear down a wall that you built and you didn't do it right, but you remember it well next time you go through that. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul was talking to Timothy, and he says, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. He was talking about discipling. What is a disciple? Have you ever thought about it? In contrast to a convert, he says, go out and make disciples, not converts. That means whenever you bring someone to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior, you introduce them to Christ, and they said, yes. They were born again, born from above. Then you're the point person for them to be discipled. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. That's okay. You've got people around you that can help you. Plug them into that body. Even if it's not this body, I want you to understand what we're doing today has nothing but everything to do with church. What I mean by that, you're not out getting recruits for LGCI. That's not what I'm talking about. You're building the kingdom of God, one person at a time. And it's all about His kingdom. It's not about our legacy, our church. None of that. Amen? Because He is the one that's flowing through you to build His church. So it's His. It's not about whatever you have personally. Encourage the person to get into a church that preaches grace if they're in another area. Okay? And help them if you need to find a place. I would encourage you, as you look at the model that was set by Jesus, He worked with 12 for a while and then 11 later on for 3 years. He took them with Him wherever He went. He provided for them. Whenever they had a lack, it was supplied. Even whenever the temple tax was due, He told Peter, hey, first fish you go catch, first, meaning there were more, take the coin out of its mouth, go pay the temple tax for both of us. You know, I'm not supposed to have to pay it, but we're not going to offend them because the sons don't pay. It's those that are not sons that have to pay. That's what he was saying. But he says, you know, there's 5,000 men, not including women and children. Disciples, you feed them. Oh, how are we going to do that? Let's see. How much money? There's not enough bread in the surrounding areas. It takes us too long to go get it. You know, all these excuses. He said, well, what have you got? 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? That's a 2-piece fish dinner. What do you have? He said, okay, let them sit down in groups of 50. And then he says that he blessed it. He spoke well over it. And he took what had been given and multiplied it. Whatever need that we think that we have, we don't lack any good thing. Because there's provision before there was ever any appearance of lack in our lives. That's in every area. That's in finances. That's in health. That's in every area. It's already been provided for in Christ Jesus. Do we look to Him? Or are we going to listen to this little voice? Well, that's never been done before. The doctor says, the psychiatrist says, and I'm not putting them down, but they've been trained in the way that the world works. A disciple is trained in the way the spirit realm works. Jesus worked with these guys for 3 years. The kingdom of God and His ministry was built upon these men that the world thought didn't stand a chance of becoming anything. But He poured His life into them. And that's discipleship, of us allowing Jesus through the Holy Spirit to pour His life into us so that we can release it out to the world. Sometimes one person at a time. Sometimes in groups. Amen?
That's right.
So, my challenge to you today is, if you want to be a disciple, you will be placed in situations where your flesh is going to rebel. And what I mean by that is you will be in a situation sometimes to where, help, because in the natural, things may look impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And that's Scripture. Amen. And so your flesh is going to be stretched. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because He's the God of all flesh too.
That's right.
And it can't be stretched beyond being repaired. Because He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. You have been made more than an overcomer in Christ Jesus. So there's no situation, I want to reemphasize this, there's no situation that you can face that can overwhelm you. No situation at all. Pastor Henry talked about this morning. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Continue trusting in Him through that situation. your flesh may be screaming at you. Mm-hmm. Are you an idiot? It's never happened before. You need to seek out some natural advice in this situation. But the Lord already knew what kind of situation you were going to be facing long before it ever happened.
That's right.
And He had already provided the victory for you.
It sure does.
Are you going to trust in that?
Mm-hmm.
And that produces growth. Mm-hmm. Because each time that you see the Holy Spirit move through you, it gives you more hope, more confidence. And you expect the victory before you ever see it.
That's right.
Hope, the confident expectation of good.
Amen.
You can go through life expecting good and not allow fear to control you ever again. Fear, false evidence appearing real, is basically a negative expectation. Even though I want good, I think something bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it paralyzes a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you understand it's just false evidence appearing real,
mm-hmm.
it's an illusion. Because He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. He's already been defeated. You continue relying upon Jesus Christ to flow through you in every situation. Now, the situation may change. True. But a lot of times we're the ones that change.
Yeah.
And one of those changes is to go from looking at the situation, looking at the symptoms, looking at this thing that looks like it's about to overwhelm us, change our focus to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's all it takes. And that's what disciples do. They look unto Jesus continually because whenever you look unto Him, you become like Him that you look at all the time. Have you ever thought about that? If you focus on a problem, does it sometimes get bigger in your mind? And then in the natural, sometimes it can actually rise up also. Here's the thing I want you to remember. Whenever you minister, it says, whenever you speak into this mountain, go and be cast into the sea. Whenever you have a mountain in your life that looks like a mountain that you're about to be overtaken, or this thing is so difficult, how in the world can I come against it? How can I release God's power into this situation? The first thing to do is take down that mountain to where it's a molehill in your mind. How do you do that? You bring it back into perspective. With God, all things are possible. It's His power. It's His might. Not my ability. Not my strength. Not anything of me, but all of Him. And look at it through Jesus' eyes, because as you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you know that you know that you know that He has the victory. There was never a situation that Jesus was faced with that He wasn't victorious.
Mm-hmm.
You are already more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So whenever you look at that quote-unquote mountain, you can actually see it as a molehill. And that's whenever you speak. Okay? That's the works that He sent us to do. The works of Jesus. You're kings and priests in Christ Jesus. Your word carries weight. Whenever you speak His word into a situation because you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth means that you agree and are speaking the same thing that He has spoken to come to pass. It's all about speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Now, he that is in the world could refer also to the old man. And it refers to the flesh. And the flesh has a voice too. We talked about that a little bit. But he that's in you is much greater than that old man that computer program that tries to talk in your ear to convince you that you're still of the flesh, that you have nothing to bring to a situation. You have Him, and that's more than enough for anything. Amen? We're going to pray. Father, I thank You for each person here. Lord, I thank You that we have been made victors over everything, over the flesh in our personal lives, and over those circumstances that are surrounding us in this natural world. Father, I thank You that You made us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You have done it all for us and placed us into Yourself. Lord, I thank You for this body of believers. You're raising this body up to be a beacon of light in this area of the world. And Father, it's just been reminded to me that this congregation is influencing by the internet throughout the world. Thank You, Father, for those that are listening to this through the internet, that they can receive and grow also. Thank You, Father. So, Father, I thank You that the disciples that You're raising up in this room will go each day knowing that 2 Timothy 2:2 applies to them also, that they'll be making disciples wherever they are, in their own hometown, in their own family. Thank You, Father, that You've given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I thank You for each person today. They are set free from any of the things that have been mentioned by Pastor Henry this morning. And I want to include one other thing. High blood pressure cannot exist in a body because that's been placed onto Jesus' body whenever He received the stripes. And by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. High blood pressure, cancer has to go. Cancer is nothing different to our Heavenly Father than a cold. So we command it right now to die. Every cell, every mutant cell has to die in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. You are our healer. We are victorious in You, in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank You for each person. And Father, I thank You that they will go forth in power, Your power, knowing that every situation they're in, they don't have to face it alone, but they're facing it empowered by You. The Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit resides inside of them in their spirit, and they're being encouraged continually as You flow through them. That it's Him flowing through us, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that all power and authority has been given to Jesus because of that. So, Father, we thank You. We're victorious in every situation, and we can have hope in every situation we're faced with. Lord, I thank You for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are blessed.